took his stroll, and the old outlaw called out, "Hey-hi-hey-hi-hey." I met a little girl and we stopped to talk. It was a fine soft day, aye. And I asked good friend, what's a fella to do if her hair is black and her eyes are blue? Yeah. And I knew right then I'd be taking a whirl. And I saw till prom with a call where you go.
Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
We hope you like us when we're angry. Hey, I'm Owen Mugen.
I'm Dean Karyanis.
And welcome back to the Angry History Podcast, where Dean has for us another angry interview today. Dean, you recently visited Galway on the western shore of Ireland and took a walk through Merlin Park Woods, which is just outside the city. It's one of their urban green spaces. Pretty little historic spot that's currently under threat.
Yeah, it was really great. Now, you've been to Ireland, and I've been to Ireland a bunch of times, and it really has changed just from the first time I went there with the Rutgers University Band in 89, and I was there again in 97, which was the very beginning of the Celtic Tiger. Was there again 3 years ago and went again this year, and it's amazing the changes, and it's really something Ireland's trying to hold on to their past, and this is a little glimpse into a local battle that's going on kind of to save a piece of Ireland, and that's these Merlin Woods.
Now, I was in Ireland first in 81, again in 91, and then in 95, which was the last time I was there, and I've been to Galway every time, but I don't recall having been there.
Now, why don't you remember being there?
Oh, were you drinking?
Guinness?
It was rendition. I don't know where I was. So I was in Romania for a while, and then who knows? And I was in some place where the alphabet is different than my own.
You're tortured by the wee leprechaun.
Yeah. Indeed.
All those have to be lucky charms.
Well, I met up in the woods with Norbert Sheeran.
Okay.
He's a local author. He wrote a book, and I just love the title of the book. It's Renmore and Its Environs, An Historical Perspective. And the subhead is Long Live Yesterday.
Ooh, nice.
Ireland has so many yesterdays that you've got to save as many as you can for future generations, especially now when it's changing and becoming really more Europeanized because it's joined the European Union.
Right. And Ireland, I think it is the most highly educated country in Europe, and whose largest export for years was people. I mean, the brain drain is what they called it.
Yeah, it's amazing that they had more people before the famine, or as they call it, the Great Hunger, than they have now. It's as if the whole island was just lifted up and you shook it.
Well, that's it. I mean, I'm Irish-American, and my family came over in 1937 from the west of Ireland also, from County Mayo, which is where the Mugens are from, and just north of Galway. And none of them went back. I mean, you know, who goes back? I'm sure people do, but gosh, it just seems like it's a one-way thing, you know?
Yeah, and they lived through the Great Hunger, yet they decided to leave after, which is interesting.
It is.
That would have been, I guess, after the First World War and the Depression. And
yep. Now, you'd mentioned something as we were preparing for this show about Red Squirrel. tell me what.
Yes.
Get into this. This is hilarious.
Yeah, the other voice you're going to hear when we start talking is Caroline Stanley. And she sort of put together this Friends of Merlin Woods to save the woods from this threat, to put a road through the heart of the woods that we're going to talk about in a minute.
A city bus is what it is, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. She's a local musician, and she just kind of very grassroots. Just regular people here getting together and trying to lobby their city council to try to prevent them from building this, because it's green in Ireland, but they don't have a lot of natural forests. And some of these are 200-year-old trees.
Right.
And so one of the ways that they've tried to really bring the woods home to people who might not even know it's there is they've started to catalog the animals that live there. And one of them is the red squirrel, which is native to the British Isles.
Not to be confused with the flying squirrel, by the way.
No, or no. Rocky, flying squirrel, yeah, from Bullwinkle. But they found a breeding pair of red squirrels there. And so they got the community involved and they asked people what they should name them. And they came up with a name for the female red squirrel who was pregnant at the time.
Okay. What was the name?
Her name was Batwoman. They either had some very cool adults or children. And so Batwoman is very popular now. People are really watching her. They're putting a lot of pictures of her up on their Friends of Merlin Woods page, which you can find on Facebook. It's a group, actually, that you can join. And the pictures they have, they look professional.
Does she have a cowl? Probably not.
They're raising money for a cow right now. I think just send it to us and we'll make sure that she gets her tiny cow. Yeah. Get her a little pole out of the tree that she can run down.
Exactly.
She has a friend, Robin.
You're a joker. Joker. So anyway, now this is before. Yeah, I said it twice. I had to actually stop and say it twice. Hey, I'm angry. Well, there we go. See, look, mission statement. Now, before we get into this a little bit, we're talking about Galway, which is a city, and which is a city that's seen a lot of growth, and not just the city itself, but Merlin was seeing tremendous growth. I mean, there's a school, and there's a hospital, and all that. So I have to guess that some of this idea of running a bus is trying to answer what some people think is some of the increased need for public transportation through this.
Yes, and Caroline did a really smart thing, I thought, when we were going to meet up there. She said, well, you could take a bus from the heart of Galway City, which isn't far from where I was staying.
Right.
And so I said, sure. So I went there and took it. And when I got there, she said, I'm really, really sorry I didn't pick you up, but I just wanted you to see how easy it is to get here by the regular bus route that they have now running. And they have also some alternative plans that they've been looking into.
Right, right.
We all like to take buses, I guess, to some destination we need to go.
God,
but
I hate buses. I hate buses more than I hate a lot of things.
That's why I like to mention it. Like that clown bus. You love the clown bus.
Yeah, the clown bus. But it's just poor 5-year-old Owen and 18 clowns in a parking lot. That's the longest trip ever. You know what? The trip hasn't ended. But thanks for bringing that up. I have to go change now.
It sound like you're getting angry, Owen.
A little bit.
Yeah, there's some undealt with trauma.
Oh, you know, it's the Galway trauma. It's a very funny story. Before we get to this, when Jackie, my wife, and I were last in Ireland, we were both smoking cigarettes. Still, we were staying at a lovely B&B just right across the river. The woman was terrific, and I have her name somewhere, but. We asked her, you know, maybe we go out and smoke in the garden. She's like, oh, well, you're lovely to ask. She goes, you know, you have people here from all over Europe. And when those Italians come in, and she looks at Jackie, who was Italian-American, and she looks at Jackie and stops, and she goes, do you have any Italian blood in you, love? And Jackie goes, yeah, I do. Ah, they're lovely people, great people, just great people.
Did you ask her why she was talking like Chief O'Hara from Batman?
Get out of town, Quillpen. As St. Paddy said to the snakes in dear old Ireland, out!
Hey, I'll put my brogue up against yours any day, kid.
Okay, so let's, since we were talking about brogues and about the city council, let's roll Councillor Frank Fahey.
Merlin Woods is the jewel in the crown on the east side of the city. I myself have used it for years. When my kids were young, I used to regularly come to Merlin Woods. We need to protect it. I want it removed from the city development plan. And I have a very simple solution, a very cost-effective solution. We already have a bus lane coming in, so there's absolutely no need to put a bus corridor through Merlin Woods. To me, it is environmental sabotage to actually do what is in our city development plan. The woods are a fantastic asset to the local people. And today I spotted a jay, a bird I didn't even know existed in this country. It's a member of the crow family. I didn't even know it existed. Squirrels, there are squirrels. I haven't seen squirrels, and I was reared in the country. I haven't seen squirrels since I was a child. They're in Merlin Woods. If we put a bus corridor through here, we're going to destroy habitat that those birds and wildlife need to live. We need to stop this. It's absolute lunacy.
Okay, again, that was Councillor Frank Fahey.
Okay.
Now, on the other side of the issue is Director of Services Kieran Hayes. He argued that the bus corridor has been on the planning board for so many years that the developments of houses and businesses and such had gone ahead with the understanding that they'd someday be served by it.
Right.
But as the Galway Independent reported, quote, he acknowledged, however, that the residents of the new residential estate in Dugaishka are now objecting to the proposal, and a petition against the public transportation route through the lands has commenced, with the group Friends of Merlin Woods garnering over 1,200 signatures from those opposing the plan.
Right.
And as we said, some of those trees were planted by the British over 200 years ago, and that's historic in its own right.
So basically, it's something that everyone recognizes there has to be some sort of upgrade.
Right. Councillor Hayes told the council that the professionals advising them as a body said that the bus corridor, quote, represents good planning and is in the interest of the city into the future, unquote. And he also responded to the gentleman that we just heard from and criticized him for using emotive language, which I thought was kind of quaint way to put it. We pretty much what all American politics is trying to use emotive language to tug at heartstrings. But he also insisted he did Councillor Hayes, that there were no proposals to destroy ancient trees. So it seems like both sides are just trying to find a way to move forward to protect the future while preserving the past. If you look at Ireland, it's not covered with a lot of trees. You know, there's a lot of grass and a lot of the peat and a lot of green things, but not trees. This is a pretty unique space for the island of Ireland.
They've got ruins too, right?
Yeah, they are lousy with the ruins.
Filthy with ruins.
Have fun storming the castle.
There's Dzugishka Castle, also called Merlin Park Castle. And it's actually in very good shape considering that it was built for Turlough O'Connor in the 1100s. He was one of the last High Kings of Ireland, a very popular guy, still referred to as Turlough the Great.
And actually, folks were still living in Derek in the middle of the 1800s. So that's really not that long ago.
Really amazing. I mean, you look at it in the pictures and you say, it doesn't look like something anybody would live in since Conan the Barbarian. And yet, Abraham Lincoln wandering around as a rail spitter and people are living there in this castle. It's just amazing. And it was home for a long time to many of the most significant Galway tribes.
These pictures are great, too. And they're going to be up on the angryhistory.com website to see. Now, on the south wall's a lower window, you can see flowers in a church window. And below that is a Síol na Gaeilge, and my pronunciation of Irish, except for my own name, is generally pretty savage, so forgive me, everyone. But those are fertility symbols, right? And usually they were naked women in rather awkward, acrobatic sexual positions. I mean, this is Ireland's pagan past, writ large here.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of these, and there's not that many that are this small, and this is a very tiny one. And Ireland actually has more of them than anywhere else. Great Britain actually has far fewer than they do. I think they have more than twice the number that Britain does. So for the Irish, you're all cheering. They're listening to this in Galway. Take that, UK.
Now, what's the general condition of the whole area?
Dzugishka Castle is in pretty good shape because they placed it on their National Historic Registry. There's a little small plaque that you can see on the site there that make sure that it won't get knocked down. They're going to start doing some renovation to it. But there are a lot of kids that use the woods, and adults too. One of the videos that we're going to post at Angry History or on our Facebook page, when I was walking through there with Caroline Stanley, it says, I asked her, are these kids that come? Because, you know, it's beer and people clearly cut down some of these great old trees just to have a bonfire.
Right.
And she said, no, it's people of all ages, you know, and it's too bad. You know, they're drinking. They say antisocial behavior going on there and cutting down trees in the woods for fires. It's really too bad.
That is too bad. I mean, it sounds like, you know, how at least my friends and I treated Prospect Park when we were kids, which, you know, we did our share of teenage imbibing in there, but we never destroyed the place.
Prospect Park, that's when you grew up in Staten Island, right? Weren't you from Staten Island?
Yeah, got arrested. All right, let's get to the meat of this interview now. Now, set this up.
Well, where I'm standing right now when I start talking to these two, again, Norbert Sheeran and Caroline Stanley, is we're just at the edge of the woods. We're overlooking a couple of very old graves, at least very old by our standards, maybe not so much so but from Irish standards, and the ruins of a small house that you wouldn't even know had been a house. They just discovered it fairly recently, came and looked at it. It's right at the edge of the complex, but they were telling me they just had somebody come and really look at it. Now, there's a little bit of wind noise. I tried to get out as much of it as I could, but we were outside, and if you listen even a little bit, you'll hear the birds and really the music of Merlin Woods.
Hey, you know what? That's great, too. I mean, you're out there in the field, and hey, you're going to hear wind, you're going to hear other things. So terrific. All right, let's roll this. Angry History in Merlin Woods, the last open space in Galway City.
I'm here with historian Norbert Sheeran, who's been kind enough to join me here in Merlin Woods to talk about the Friends of Merlin Woods. And you were just showing me a couple of very old gravestones.
Yes, there are two flat gravestones embedded into the ground, and they're at the back of a financial building here on the grounds of Merlin Park Hospital. They're dated 1650. Certainly one of the graves is dated 1650, and the other grave doesn't have a date on it. Now, the local heritage officer with Galway City Council, Jim Higgins, has examined the site, and he gave me some descriptions of what is engraved on them. And one of them has a Calvary cross of Latin type and the outline form of a stepped base. Bear in mind that these graves are lying flat on the ground. They're not standing stones, or they're not like the normal graves you might find in a normal cemetery. He also says that there are vocational symbols engraved on one of the slab stones. And by that he means that it's a plough sock, a plough coulter, and a shoeing or setting stone symbolising a cartwheel. So it might mean that there was probably somebody with farming background or farming experience buried there. Now, also, there's the unmarked grave then has a plain cross on a step base. When the Blakes had the house, they were all the time having parties. And there's reputedly a girl fell over a banister, one of the servants, and she was killed. And she was buried on the grounds immediately. And they put a slab over her grave. Mary McManus was her name. And on the slab, it's supposed to be Mary McManus, Virgin, 1812. Or 1814, I'm not sure of the date. Now, the fact that it's mentioned as Virgin, I suppose they mean Miss, that she wasn't married or whatever. Now, her grave is supposed to be somewhere near those two graves. Where history and folklore merge, sometimes you get a very strange result. And this is where it's saying that they're reputed to be the graves of an innkeeper and his wife. Now, also Jim Higgins examined the site here and he found that there was evidence of a dwelling house which is now covered in ivy. And he found a window, or evidence of a window, perhaps a door, and certainly a place where there was a gate which could be for letting animals through or whatever. So he was convinced that there was some type of dwelling house on the site. As I say, it probably has sunk into the ground now, and probably the window is near to the ground more than what it should have been when it was a fully functional house. But the folklore aspect of it is that it's supposed to be the grave of an innkeeper and his wife. And in 1650, or thereabouts, they had been murdered, it is claimed, by Cromwell's troops who were coming in from North Mayo into Galway. And seemingly this was their route into the city at the time. I suppose they were looking for alcohol. But the innkeeper and his wife were speaking Gaelic or Irish, and they were speaking English. And there was confusion and communications problems. And the innkeeper and his wife were offering them a juk ishka, which is the Irish for drink of water. Juk is drink and ishka is water. And it's reputed that that's where the area behind us here, immediately behind us, where the graves are located, is called Dukishka. So that's where the folklore blends with it. But bear in mind, I think that would be slightly questionable, because whilst it's engraved 1650, Cromwell's troops didn't come to Galway until 1652. So that's where it's a little bit of folklore and local lore, which really isn't historically true.
They're right here. We're looking at their graves. You know, they have a story. This girl who died tragically has a story.
Well, I think even the fact that the Blakes were one of the famous families in Galway.
Yeah,
you know,
one of the famous tribes.
And in the east side of Galway, they don't really look after the history that well. A lot of it's focused on the city, or you know, so I think we need to focus more on this side of the city as well. You know, we have a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, in the year 2000, I wrote a book, you see, on the history of the eastern side of the city. It was more or less to highlight what already is there and to preserve whatever artifacts or historical sites or whatever is still there to make sure that at least they won't be forgotten about or missed out.
Well, what was the title?
It was called Renmore and Its Environs, Long Live Yesterday.
What a great title.
Because there's a big military barracks as well.
Of course there is.
Not far from here.
That's
you know,
right, that would so be included.
There's a lot of history in the area.
There's an awful lot of history in this area here.
It really is.
But certainly from the point of view of people who work here, and I have the experience of working here on the Merlin Park site in the grounds, and actually the environment that you're working in, it means an awful lot to your mental health and well-being.
Oh, it does, yeah.
Because it's so relaxing. It's lovely to look out the window and see green grass, green trees, hedgerows, whatever is out there.
And the patients.
Oh, absolutely, from
patients'
point of view.
You know, it must make them get better quicker.
Of course it does. Convalescence
will be part of it,
yeah. If you can
look out and see wildlife out in front of you, you know, out the window when you can look out.
And they believed it so much back in the day, where we didn't have pills we were convinced could fix you. We thought much more about the mental well-being of people.
Fresh air.
When President James Garfield got shot in America, he got shot at a train station in Washington, D.C., they took him to the Jersey Shore because they said, well, put him on the beach, let him look at the water and smell the salt there.
Yeah.
It didn't help him. Unfortunately, the doctors killed him, basically, because they kept probing him with dirty fingers. This is 1881. But, you know, he was happier there than he would have been still being poked and prodded. I mean, I always think, gosh, if I ever get sick, I don't want to lay looking at drop ceiling for my last days in a hospital. I'd like to have a window to look out. And that window, when that's your last view of the world, maybe, you want it to be something that's nice.
You want
to see a red squirrel. Can't get that any other way. You can't get it off a computer screen or off TV or, even hearing a song. I mean, I've been here for just a few minutes and the woods clearly have a song all their own. I'm wearing headphones so I can you can hear everything going.
Yeah.
And there's already a few cars there, but they're at least in the distance.
Yes.
They're not cutting right through the heart of it. So.
And that's when you get deeper into the woods, it's just like you are cut off.
and from, isolated from
the outside
world, yes.
Influences, you know. And you know, I bring people on a walking group on a Tuesday morning, you know, and
on the grounds here,
in through the woods,
yes.
And I bring them for a walk, and I go, and you know, this is a really nice place to walk. And some of them may never have gone into the woods before. Mm. They might walk up and down the Dowishka Road or wherever, but never exactly. Go into the woods. So I always bring them into the woods. And they're like, this is amazing. I never knew this was here. You know, because our council don't really promote the woods.
Yeah.
They just don't.
It reminded me of the Walden Woods Project in Massachusetts. Don Henley of Eagles started that because Thoreau wrote there. This is my fourth trip to Ireland. And I always try to go and do something that's off the beaten path.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because there's always plenty of people to try to protect the Cliffs of Moher, which they always remind me of the Palisades that we have in New Jersey looking across to Manhattan. They didn't mine those for a long time.
Yeah.
And they stopped it and they preserved it because somebody owned all of it. I want to say it was Vanderbilt, but one of the big families back then in the Gilded Age, and he didn't want to look at any houses on the other side, so he bought them and had them all demolished.
Yes.
And we have, you know, some ruins that are 150 years old, which is nothing compared to over here, but it's, you know, everybody's always going to be there to protect the Cliffs of Moher, but little spots like this where, you know, the people don't have anybody to speak for them before.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why I wanted to talk to you about Friends of the Woods, because you hear it and you think, well, okay, why do woods need friends? You wouldn't think anybody, they're either here or not here, and they're, you know.
Yeah.
But then you think about how easily this site could just be paved over.
That's kind of where Friends of Merlin Woods started, because we knew that there was a lot of people using the woods. But we knew that nobody had a voice. But if you could bring a group of people together that use the woods and love the woods, then we become a stronger unit, you know. People from Renmore, Ballyban, Merview, Dowishka, they all use the woods and they love it, you know. There's loads of groups that use it. And once we set up the page, you know, within a week or so, there were 700 people straight onto the page going, wow.
That's wonderful,
and,
yeah.
You know, people have put pictures on it. You know, we've identified... Since we set up the page in October, we've identified over 20 different species of birds.
Wonderful,
We've recorded the red squirrel, you know, and the red squirrel is an endangered species.
That's correct.
The gray squirrel's not pushing them out.
The red squirrel.
And now the black squirrel.
We're not so bad in this side of the country. They're kept at bay by the Shannon River. But if they can cross the Shannon, which they will inevitably, the gray squirrel, then the red squirrel will become under threat. So it's very important to keep that species protected, you know.
Of course, yeah.
And we've just identified another one now, just there yesterday as well.
So I see.
A male and a female, and she was pregnant.
Breeding pair.
So everyone's waiting to see the babies.
Right.
Because she was pregnant as well there, just after Paddy's death. So she's supposed to have them after Paddy's death. We would have done the bumblebee, you know, where you identify and that, but there's been loads of bumblebees, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of them now are one variety, but we did see one or two more, you know, of different varieties.
Butterflies are things people relate to, and you know,
yeah, they're
more
beautiful,
than the bees,
you know.
Kids can chase them and look. And you mentioned before about the kids, or about kids that might live around here, and speaking as a kid who grew up going into the woods and now goes back and sees a lot of those places now are houses or you know, paved over or whatnot, they have a right to be able to go out there and wander.
Oh, definitely. And we have a school that uses them, you know. The Merlin Wood School goes in there all the time. You know, it goes in there, like every week they'll go in for a nature walk, you know, and it means they have a facility there to take the kids in, and it's a safe environment for them. If they put a road through that, that takes away that safe environment. It also creates a pollution factor and a noise factor as well, you know. So, and then there's all the, you know, the different groups that use it, like the Brownies, the Scouts, the Pope John Paul Centre, which is it's a home for physically and mentally disabled people. So they would walk in the woods. So they would like nothing better than to have a nice, quiet area to walk and feel safe. But the fact that they might now put a bus corridor which they call it a bus corridor, but we call it a road, because once you put anything that resembles a road in, you have use of joyriders, people that run, taxi drivers will want to use it at busiest times. It'll also run down between a school and a playground, so you'll have to cross from the school to the playground. You'll have to cross this bus route, so it's a ridiculous
suggestion, really.
Ridiculous suggestion. Plus that the easiest way they could do it and the cheapest option is to just finished, the one from the end of the Dublin motorway there, you know, go around the corner.
Oh, there's another option already.
There's already another option.
Of course there is, yeah.
Do you know, it saves cutting down hundreds and hundreds of trees, do you know.
And there's not that many. I mean, I obviously just had to fly over Ireland to get to Dublin and you fly back. There's not a lot of spaces like that where you can go and just see some woods.
No.
A place that's not managed. When we talked about the wind here before, you don't get that in a museum, as great as a museum is.
You can't replace 200-year-old trees, you know.
You know,
that's the problem in this place, is that if the road will damage some 200-year-old trees, you know.
Of course.
And, you know, we were just talking about the squirrels, which, you know, it may not mean a lot to people, but everything that's natively Ireland, you have a right to fight for. People are going to want to keep. And you know what happens to squirrels and roads.
Yeah, so we know that's exactly it. You know, we have foxes and badgers and all sorts of things, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've only been trying to identify the wildlife since last October, so we're only just getting started, really, do you know.
I understand, yeah.
So we may find pine martens as well. And
you probably wouldn't.
You know,
probably
there's been reports of them.
Yes. I'm just looking at a study here that was done in the 1970s by Brady Shipman and Martin, the Ecology of Merview and Renmore.
Wow.
And they're just talking about land management here, and they're mentioning that 1830s, a lot of the trees were already planted by the 1830s.
Yeah.
So they go back quite a long time.
Yeah.
A lot of farming around here. There was a number of big houses, Merlin Park House, Ross Hill House, which is still there, Merview, which is still there, it's Tara Hall, Renmore House, which is incorporated into the Holy Family School, which is a school for mildly handicapped people, and Renmore Cottage, which is now gone, sadly. But there were the five big houses, and then there was a lot of church land around here, the Round Tower at Roscam, which is across the road from Merlin Park Woods, and it's evidence there of a fairly important
ecclesiastical site. There's a lot of history around this area, you know, which doesn't get enough.
The importance of this particular document is that it's a scientific document.
Yeah.
It stands alone as a scientific study done by experts in the field of ecology, and it can be quoted when any arguments are being presented regarding the land, the value of it, and the importance of it. So at least,
It's good to have a document like that.
It is, it is. And that's owned by the Renmore Residents Association. Yeah. I have them at home myself. They were commissioned by a group who used to run a bingo competition every Wednesday back in the 1960s. And when they disbanded, they had quite a lot of money left over, and they said, what do we do with this money? Because it's not our money, but it's probably community money. And they decided and they voted to have a study like this prepared and done and paid for.
That's great.
Which is invaluable.
Oh, it is.
Invaluable. Because you can quote from a scientific document like that.
Well, there's a lot of history in the Merlin Woods. So what you have is you have all these walls going through it, which is very, very odd to find in a woods anyway, you know.
Hmm.
So some of the walls look very old, don't they? They're like very...
They do.
I don't know, what year do you think?
They were probably boundary land, because Merlin Park, as I said, was built in 1810, 1811, 1812. But prior to the building at all of that, there may have been families here. There may have been people farming on the land.
There's quite a lot of ruins, you know, within the park itself, and there's walls everywhere.
Then boundary walls, I presume.
You have the castle then, and the castle dates back to...
The castle would date back to the 16th century, even earlier.
Yeah.
Norman Tower.
Yeah.
The Norman Tower, once known as Merlin Old Castle, they called it. In 1564, it was owned by Nicholas Fitzjohn Blake. Now, he would have been a branch of the Blakes who later built Merlin Park House. But that was 1564. In 1580, it was passed on to his daughter, Evelyn. She was the wife of John Lynch Fitzrichard Fitzsander. Very, very strange names. Close to the old castle of Merlin Park, or Merlin Castle, the Norman Tower, there was quite an abundant flowing waterfall back in the 1850s. And the water used to flow down across where the Dublin Road is now. We call it the Dublin Road. And it was sloping land down to the sea. And it used to gather at Ballylochon, which is a beach area, Ballylochon Beach. And it was used for watering the livestock of the farmers who were working there and living there. Now, when they were building the railway line in 1850s Ireland, they were putting a large embankment up so as to locate the tracks. But they had to, as well as building a bridge for traffic to flow, they were mentioned by the farmer, said, well, what about the water from the Merlin Woods, which comes in, into the lock at the side of the beach? So at beside the Ballylochan Bridge, we call it, there's another smaller little bridge down below. Have you ever seen it?
Oh, no, I haven't.
The very same lovely carved stone, and that was to facilitate the water, which no longer flows, but to come down through. They had to leave access for that. That's still there.
Because they actually took the river away as well from the woods, you know, because it was flooding some land they wanted to develop. So they just...
redirected it.
They actually lowered the water table. So now we have no river going through the woods anymore. And this is something that we'd love to see reinstated, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But that'll be another battle, you know.
Yeah.
But now we have like a very polluted bit of water that comes out of pipe, you know, through the woods, which isn't very good for wildlife,
I know,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And between 1653 and 1655, the Lynches were dispossessed of their lands. The castle lost its roof to the Cromwellian soldiers in the 1650s. His grandson refurbished it, and he took up residence there in 1731. And then it was known as Duchishka Castle.
How did it get the name Merlin?
Merlin is an anglicisation of the word Merlin. Mer meaning sea, and lin meaning pool. And there was evidence that water used to seep up through the ground near where the entrance is, and that's why they were calling it Merlin. Have you come across that before, Catherine?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
What I also heard was the Merlin story. Do you remember? I think it was maybe yourself, the link with the Knights of the Round Table.
Oh, yes, I have some reference
to
that.
Another folklore.
Tossed in. Well, it's better than saying the English did it. You only did that.
Yes. Well, it's like Dublin, which is the capital of Ireland, Dublin. Now, Ballyclea is not an exact translation of Dublin. Dublin means Dove Lynn, black pool. Dove is black in Irish, and Lynn is pool.
Yeah.
Same as here, as in Merlin.
Merlin. Plus, you also have, like, over at Roscann there as well, you have a... That would have been a big kind of shipping port as well, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah. There's a little pier over there.
There's a big quarry here as well, Merlin Quarries.
There is, yeah.
And a lot of the stone there would have been used in Galway Cathedral, would have been used in...
Even Stormont in Northern Ireland.
In Limerick, I think it was used. Very good quality stone.
Yeah, it was described to me one time by one of the stone cutters who worked in the marble quarry that it was soft marble. In other words, it's easily cut into slabs. Now, still, it's very hard, but it's just in the quality of marble, it would be much softer than granite, we'd say. The evidence on the marble from that quarry, it's black in colour, but there's quite a lot of fossils in it.
Yeah.
As in shells, and so it was evidence that the sea probably was up there at some stage, way back in eons ago.
And you find that as well, you know, sometimes if you look at the walls around the woods itself, and if you look inside some of the filler rocks, you know, the kind of stuff they'd use to fill in the inside of the walls, you'd find a lot of sandy, shaley kind of stuff there as well, do you know?
So the castle, residence taken up by Francis Blake and his grandson in 1731, and it was known as Duchishka Castle at that time. And he died, the man that refurbished it, died in 1763. And in 1853, it was bought by Henry Hudson. And Henry Hudson was the man who bought the encumbered estate of Merlin Park House. Obviously, it didn't include the land with the castle around it, but seemingly the following year he bought, he was a wealthy industrialist, this man Hudson, he bought the castle. Now, whether he ever dwelt in it or not, I think he probably bought it just for the land around it. But then he died quite young.
And this is an amazing spot in the sense that you'd never know it was here. It's behind a hospital and some administrative buildings, and unfortunately there's some trash that just blew over it. It's not as if it's a historic site. I'm positive it's not on any tour. And
it's not.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing that, you know, somebody wants to build on it, they would just probably hide it from the local historical society and pave it. And
yes. Well, I used to work here on this particular hospital. I'm retired now, but I worked here, and I made sure that the administration and the people in charge here knew that there are two graves on the ground here, so that if they ever are going to extend the building, they won't cover them up or cover them over. So that's the story of the graves. Now, there's a third grave reputed to be on the site of in Merlin Park. Merlin Park House was an old stately home here,
and it was built in 1812 or 188, 9, 10, 11, 12, around that time, for the Blake family, one of the tribes of the city. And they vacated it in 1652, or 1852, I beg your pardon. And it was sold in the encumbered courts because they were running out of money. They squandered their money or their wealth quite considerably. Built between 1808 and 1812, as I said, for the Blake family, at a cost of £12,000, that would be pounds sterling at the time, by a man, Charles Blake. And he could trace lineage back to the Knights of the Round Table. And he came to Ireland, their family came to Ireland with Strongbow, the Normans. One of the tribes of the city, a very influential family, the Blakes. The house originally stood on 1,109 acres, 3 roods and 8 perches. 224 acres was arable land, 5 acres of roads and drives, 4 acres of gardens and orchards, which were surrounded by a 15-foot high wall. Over 100 acres were under plantation. The Blakes squandered their wealth and in 1852 sold in the encumbered courts for £8,000, so a loss of £4,000. And Henry Hudson, a wealthy industrialist who made his money from sulphur mining, bought it. But he died a young man in the late 1800s. In 1876, Robert Waitman bought Merlin Park. In 1883, his son married a lady called Lady Philippa Stanhope, and they were given Merlin Park House as a wedding present. And the house and lands then passed on to his son, Wyndham Waitman, the last owner, who was in residence here with his second wife, Dricka. In the 1940s, Ireland was in the grip of the TB epidemic. An approach was made by the then Board of Health to the Waitmans, seeking to purchase the house. Now, according to Mrs. Waitman, and I have the taped interview with her, she's passed on, but she said that the government brought in legislation where they could actually buy your house and you had no recourse. You were just given a fee, an amount of money, and that was it. And they bought it. And, of course, they demolished it. We can't blame them for that, I suppose, because if you were dealing with tuberculosis, you want to start from a greenfield site and build from the ground up and be sure that everything is as sanitised and clean as possible to get rid of the disease. So unfortunately, they had to demolish the house. It was a fine house. It was on an elevated site, you see, and it would have beautiful views over Galway Bay, because whilst there's a huge housing estate across the road from the hospital here now, when it was built and even when the Waitmans were there, none of that building programme had started. So they would have enjoyed superb views right over the sea out onto Galway Bay. And I'm sure it was a very imposing building now to see it. You know, I'm sure it looked lovely.
And the entrance was supposed to be very grand as well.
It was a grand entrance to it, yeah. It was quite ornate and quite nice. Wyndham Waitman, when they sold the house, I think her description of it was that they were approached by the officials from the Board of Health and they said, well, look, if it's going to save a life, we'll sell it. And they very graciously sold it for £15,000, which wouldn't have been near the value of it at the time, I presume, but that was in the 1940s in Ireland, post-war. And then they moved across the road to a house called Murrow House, which is another fairly old stately home across the railway line. There's a railway line running between here and the sea. They bought that house. Wyndham Waitman was a very inventive man. He was an engineer, he was in the British Army, he was a recruiting officer for the First World War. I met him once. We were trying to mount a campaign for Galway to have a museum. There was no museum in the city at that time. They moved across to that house then until he died in 1979. And then Mrs. Waitman moved back into the grounds of Merlin Park, and she was living in a little cottage, which is now burnt down. But it was built by Captain Wyndham Waitman himself, or he got somebody to build it for people who were working on the ground. So there was a strange irony that she was back with Merlin Park House gone.
Yeah.
The foundation for the sanatorium was laid in 1948 and the first patients were admitted in 1954. That's the history of the house. I suppose the fact that the house is no longer there, it nearly accentuates its importance. They have the capacity, that's our local authority, to damage something irreparably, and I'm sorry to have to say that, because Eyre Square is at the centre of Galway City and it had most ornate railings around it.
It did, yeah, it was beautiful.
And what they've done to it now, architecturally, if that's the right way, or from a landscape point of view, they have globalised the square. It could be anywhere in the world. It has very little natural anything to suggest where it is, except for a large sculpture of the sails,
sails, yeah.
Which are nice. But the lovely railings that were around it, it gave it a unique character.
Yeah,
it's like removing railings from any public park. It was a pity that they were removed.
Yeah.
An awful pity. So with regard to that, I'm afraid they have the capacity to destroy something without thinking too much about it. But hopefully
we'll make them feel sense.
Exactly. You know, sense. Yeah, absolutely. I think the idea is to get the road removed from the city development plan.
That's the idea, yeah.
That's the idea, get it removed off it.
Because when they actually put it in, they were thinking about... There was no houses around a lot of the woods at that time. Mm. A lot of it was just... So nobody really maybe did use the woods at that time, only maybe kids and things used to run into it.
Yes.
But... there's a lot more people using it now because the housing, and those people need the woods. That's their escape. You know, people haven't got the money these days to get into the car, drive 10 miles out the road to go to a nice place or, you know, get away from the sound of the traffic. Hmm. We have it here in Merlin Woods. We have the peace and quiet. You know, in another 10 years, we'll have even more housing. So Merlin Woods will become a massive asset to the city of
Galway. Absolutely.
A massive asset. You know, it'll become an important tourist area for the city.
Of course. Yeah.
It'll
and that
bring
seems
people.
A magic word right now in Ireland and part of the economy. Yeah. And
especially with this gathering.
Yeah.
You know.
That's right, sure.
Yeah, but how many names have you just mentioned? Somebody can trace back the ancestry of this girl whose grave is missing out there.
Yeah, Mary McMahon.
Mary McMahon.
People come through, you tell them just leave what you bring, footprints, don't walk here, don't. Yeah. It is a great place to go.
All right, we are back in our respective studios, where the closest thing we have to Ireland is a map of Ireland I have on the wall. I mean, I live out in the desert, crying out loud.
That's not Brooklyn. That's
no,
not Brooklyn,
no,
that's for
not.
Sure. Yeah.
But it sounds like it was a beautiful spot, dude.
It was. It was great, and it was fun to just go and meet people. And as we talked about before, when we go places, we like to sort of find a out-of-the-way spot. I don't want to go to Ireland and sit and talk to somebody from Brooklyn or Staten Island. I mean, that's great. I can do that in the subway, but you know, find a little bit about what makes them tick and what they like. And so this was just a spot that I saw them on Twitter at Angry History on Twitter, where you can also, by the way, follow at Friends Merlin WD is their account on Twitter. So I just talked to them and they said, sure, we'd love to take you a walk through the wood. They do historic walks all the time and they point all these things out to people that they would never, ever see. And it really brings the woods alive.
Well, this is one of those things that's too, which is I like this about how you travel, is that you to find something that is truly local. I mean, to get away from that tourist experience is kind of neat. And, you know, here we are talking local politics. I think it's very interesting. And I hope they're able to come to some sort of reasonable compromise.
Yeah, they've made some progress since they've decided to temporarily shelve it, as Norbert talked about there, and sort of go back to the drawing board. And it really seems like a pretty calm, very the way your local democratic government you hope would work. They're looking into it. People are getting involved. There's many more people in the woods today than when it was put on the map to be developed. And so city officials are going to present the councillors with a full report on alternatives to the planned bus corridor within 6 months and hopefully come to a wise decision that pleases everybody, allowing Galway to grow into the future while preserving its past. It seems like they're really going to be able to make it happen. And that's because of the work that the Friends of Merlin Woods are doing, Carolyn Stanley and Norbert Sheeran. So I want to thank them very much for taking the time to show me their woods.
Absolutely. And Dean, and thank you for taking time out of your vacation to do all this, too. I mean, it was a lot of legwork.
Sure. Well, I had to dry out.
Go ahead. All right, cool. Hey, you know what? Whatever Greek Christmas is, whatever you guys celebrate, remind me to mock you and whatever distinguishable Greek characteristics, which I think is shouting, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Greeks love to. That's their favorite thing, is to make fun of other Greeks. So, you know, bring it on. In fact, I was next to Town Hall in New York City, which is a venue, not the actual City Hall. Anyway, there's BXL, which is a Belgian beer bar next door, and I met these great guys from Ireland, and they were saying, oh, gosh, the Greeks, you're all the problem that we have now.
I says,
you can't blame the British anymore. You got to blame this one. You got to find someone, so you blamed it on the poor Greeks. And the guys all started laughing, and one of them said, you're right. We brought this one on ourselves with all the real estate.
Leave it to an Irishman to allow for a good laugh about potential continental collapse.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, they've lived through it before.
Exactly. This is nothing, except now there's internet. One thing they talked about in the interview was the gathering. Give me a little more on that, please.
Oh, well, you can learn more about it at thegatheringireland.com. It's a series of events and festivals to celebrate Irish culture, history, and genealogy. Genealogy, of course, being something my wife Kathy and I are very interested in, and we've searched into Lethem's background that we talked about, talked to rather, in our Australia podcast, and your background.
Yeah, we got to pull up that one Kathy found about the Italian side of my family sometime. That was hilarious. Think Sweeney Todd, folks.
Yeah. And it's taking place all through 2013. So if you go to thegatheringireland.com, you can see if your name is Irish and you want to see if there's an event attached to it, then go there and see what they have to say.
Very, very cool. Well, I really enjoyed this one, Dean. Thanks a lot for, like I said, doing the legwork. I am Owen Mugit.
I'm Dean Karyanis.
Thanks for being here again. We'll see you soon, guys.
Hi.
It's the sad verse, everybody. But when I woke up, I was all alone. Not a broken heart and a ticket.
Visit angryhistory.com to learn more about the topics discussed on today's episode. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You can also like us on Facebook, tweet us at Angry History, or send us an email to angry@angryhistory.com.
Boys, I've never seen nothing like a Galway girl.